Hello, listeners. One fat lady opposite me and I'm one thin lady, but we're not really. We're just sort of pretty fab, aren't we, Niecy?
Oh, we're okay for old Sheila's. No, you're not so old. I like it. It's good to see you again.
It's always a joy to see you, Niecy.
And what will we be talking about today,
Routine. We're going to be talking about routines.
Okay, because you've got a special routine in the morning with the girls and Pete, haven't you?
Well, there's been a big bit of a change in my life because I am now not on Studio 10. I have the mornings to get the girls to school, but it's not my strong point. I'm a little chaotic. I like to be...
Silly.
Very silly. Yeah. So I do a bit of a vaudeville act in the mornings.
And what would that consist of?
It consists of singing, dancing. I'm at the moment singing, "Hello, is it me you're looking for? You need to get in your school uniform because it is time to go. Hello, where are your school shoes and socks?" So I'm doing that.
Does it work?
Well, it does because it relieves the tension. Petey is like, "Will you stop carrying on?" Whereas the girls laugh and then we have fun.
And you get to move them quicker if the
Yes, or we have more fun doing it rather than nagging. Mm. Don't like to nag. I'd rather, "Hello."
And hello to you too.
So that is my vaudeville act. I am just a junior vaudeville performer compared
but
to someone
well.
Of
going
your vintage,
well.
Niecy.
Yes, vintage. Thanks for using that word. That's lovely.
Anyway. Your experience and maturity.
Thank you.
Because you're good at that.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. I shot an elephant in my pyjamas last night. How good are my pyjamas? I'll never know.
A podcast featuring Denise Drysdale and Jessica Rowe. One fat lady and one thin lady.
You waiting for me to start?
Who will start? We're just, you know what, listeners? Niecy and I were sharing a pensive moment, a rare quiet moment. Normally when we're together, we just talk and talk and talk.
I was waiting for you to start and you were waiting for me.
I was waiting for you, just patiently waiting.
But we've started now.
Hooray! And we're away. We're out of the gates. You know what has been quite funny for me of late is I have had a huge sea change in my life.
Yeah.
Because I've left Studio 10, decided to step away from that for a while to focus more on the girls, on Petey. But what I'm finding is, this is why I'm so excited that I'm chatting to you, is I do a bit of an entertainment routine in the mornings for the family.
Oh, yes. What does that entail?
Well, it entails I'll sing, I'll dance, I'll do some sort of interpretive movements to get the girls moving, to get in their uniforms. Generally mucking around.
Is it working though?
It is for me.
How's it going for Pete?
Well, yes.
Because he had a strict routine with the girls when you were getting up at 5 o'clock or something and heading off. And what's happened to that routine?
Well, I'm not a good routine person,
no.
As you would be aware, Niecy. Yeah. I'm not, I sort of fight against the routine. And Petey, it is a bit of a challenge in the morning still because, as you said, Petey likes to run things like a military operation with the times. He likes to do time calls, which I find very irritating.
Time calls?
Time calls. So
what does it say, 7:13?
Well, yes. And normally at 7:13 we're having breakfast, we're having the Weet-Bix and I'm on the couch going, "Well, I'm not, I'm having my coffee." "Okay, pussycat, 7:30, time now, we need to be going upstairs getting dressed." I'm like, "There's time, what do you mean?" "No, come on, pussycat, you got to get upstairs. Come
on." So what time are you getting up now?
Well, he still gets me up early. Not as early, but like this morning I was really lying there having such a lovely dream. One of those, you know, those sorts of dreams,
yeah,
you know, beautiful dreams. And I have my leg out of the doona and Petey's there waking me up. And he's not gentle, he doesn't wake me up softly. He sort of pulls open the doona and goes, come on, get up, time to get up. And I just go,
military.
Oh, yes, very much so.
Doesn't he let you have a sleep in after all those mornings you had to get up really early?
No.
Oh, I couldn't bear it.
He doesn't.
I could not bear it. You know what I do? I get up at about 6, because I'd read, as you know, and then I'll turn out the light about 2, then the cat will wake me up or jump on my face or something at about 6. So I feed her, then I go back to bed, and then I don't get up till 1 or 2 in the afternoon. I love it. I love my life.
Oh, that I'm listening to that thinking, heaven, because very much that is has been your routine for years, sort of entertaining, working at night.
Yeah.
And because you're in when you're in Sydney doing Studio 10, you've got to get up so early. So when you're home...
I make up for the sleep I don't get here.
It's beautiful because... On the odd occasion when you ring me in the mornings, I'm thinking, what are you doing ringing me? And it's when, sweetheart, the cat's woken you
up. Yeah, and then I go back to sleep.
Oh, bed. I love bed.
He should let you do that. I might have to have a word with
him. I think
just
he might have to.
Just a couple of sleep-ins.
But he says to me, he goes, oh, pussycat, no.
What time does he have to get up then?
Well, he likes to get up early.
Yuck. What's wrong with him?
Indeed, I don't know. He is wonderful, but I do say, Petey, just let me lie here. He's like, no, pussycat, you've got to get up because if you don't get up, the girls won't get up. And which...
Couldn't you go when you take them back to off to school, come back and go to bed?
No, because then I'm up. Then I'm up.
No, see, I've developed that thing now where I can even go down the street and come back and get back into bed and go to sleep.
So I do my entertainment, my vaudeville routine. And it was so beautiful earlier this week when I was taking both girls to school, holding Giselle's hand, and Giselle just looked up at me. She said, Mummy, I love you taking me to school.
Oh, that's fabulous.
It was so beautiful. Yes. It made me all teary and it made me think, oh, yes, this is so lovely.
But it is good. I'm glad you're home with them. And I can see the difference in you. You're much chirpier.
I'm lighter. That's what I love. I just feel lighter. I feel taller, even though I haven't grown.
God, taller.
But I am. I just feel that much lighter. And I think it is an interesting challenge, though, with Petey getting used to, as I said, having me round in the mornings and having me round more, because he'll sort of say, so, pussycat, are you going to do some cleaning? And I say, no.
You just find it. You know it's hard when people have women that have been at home, stay at home mums and stuff, and then the husband retires. It drives them crazy because they don't know what to do with them. And that's why if you're going to retire, it's not even the money part of it that you need to be prepared for. It's the not doing stuff, and you've got to get yourself into a certain frame of mind to be able to enjoy it and not drive yourself crazy.
And to make sure that you have a social network of people around you still. I know with my wonderful in-laws, my beautiful father-in-law, he worked for many years at the Children's Hospital and was so committed to his job and the most beautiful, lovely man. But then when he retired, he initially drove my mother-in-law up the wall, that she would just be driving the car back from the shops and he would already be out the front door talking at her because he was so used to talking to people and having people around, and then suddenly he was thinking, what will I do?
Ooh.
Subsequently, though, he does so much. They are over it now.
Okay, that's good.
But for many couples, it is that sort of challenge, because Charlotte, very much with her life, had her routine that she would organise, I'm playing bridge on these days,
whatever,
catching up with the girls on these days, I'll be doing this, I'll go to the movies, I'll do all these things.
Yeah.
And then it's suddenly John would be there saying, what about me? What are we going to do?
Yes, that's hard.
Have you ever retired?
I think I did for tax reasons once.
And how long was that for?
About 6 months.
Because you just go and go, Niecy.
I know, but it's hard to say. Oh, no, it is hard to say no to a job.
Why? Why is that for you?
Because it's the basic insecurity of, if I say no to this job, it might be the last job I ever get.
Is that, as a performer...
Yeah, I don't know.
...innate to who you are, that it's, oh, I have to keep going, I have to
Listen,
keep going?
The whole of my life, if I could have looked back and known how many jobs I'd have or how lucky I am to have done what I've done, but each time you do something and you think, this might be the last time that I do that. This might be the last hotel I ever stay in. Yes, that.
That's very fatalistic.
It is, isn't it? But I think it's just part of the business that I grew up in, because just because you work on television doesn't mean there's a job for you on television. And I can't do anything else, so that's, you know, I can't write books like you can.
Oh, you could write a book. You could do it in a dictaphone, Niecy.
I beg your pardon?
I don't know if there are such things as dictaphones anymore. But recording, like, you just talk. You know what this could be, Niecy? Our podcast could be a talking book.
All right.
It's the talking book of your life.
Yes, okay then. Beaut.
Talking career and that idea that we were saying of not imagining where you'd be right now, because you've been in the entertainment biz since you're a little girl.
Yeah.
When you began, did you have in your mind, okay, I'm going to be this, or this is where I'm heading?
No, nothing.
No plan. Idea. No plan at all.
No plan, because I was just lucky enough that one job would finish and I'd pick up something else. But I suppose the thing is being able to do floor shows, that's what's kept me alive. I mean, as far back as 5 years, I think I was doing about 120 shows a year. The year that I started on Studio 10, I did 90.
90 shows?
Mm.
A floor show. That
floor
makes
show,
me think of cartwheels and somersaults and
girls in feathers.
Yeah, doing, you know,
have done that
floor
over the years, but no, just with the piano player and go out and sing and do jokes and muck around and whatever. And they're still asking me, so I must be doing something right.
You're more than doing something right. I was lucky enough to see you do a smaller version of one of those shows when we went. It was at a RSL club in Sydney.
Yep.
And you and beautiful Carlotta performed.
Yes.
But seeing you, Niecy, on stage singing songs in your element was just the best.
It's a good feeling. I love it.
Is that feeling? Is it the same feeling each time when you step out on stage?
As soon as I get a laugh, I'm away. I'm fine. So, yeah, there's the line I've got is, and I always ask if they've got any questions, and off the top they'll ask, well, how old are you, or what about this one, or they ask you about everything. And then I go, I've got a question for you. What's the difference between exotic and erotic? Exotic is when you tickle your partner with a feather, and erotic is when you use the whole chook. So they immediately laugh. And we're away. We're off on the right foot.
What about if people don't laugh?
Oh, like they did at that
at
retirement.
The nursing home.
At the retirement
expo.
Expo. When they couldn't hear. Oh, no, it's an awful feeling. That's why I admire stand up people who write their own material, then they have to write it again once they've done a show. I could never just go out cold. I've never had to go out and win an audience over because they've seen you on the telly and they go to the show because they know you from the telly. It's a hard life, a stand-up.
Of course, hard. Because you're always looking for that validation.
Yeah.
And that, yes, that is funny, people are laughing. With your shows, not only do you tell jokes, you tell stories, but you sing. Do you prefer singing?
I love singing, but I can't sing the way I want to. Never been able to. I get away with it. I couldn't sing for, I reckon, for ages. And then I grew into a voice.
How do you grow into a voice?
Persevering.
Well, I haven't grown into mine yet. I've been persevering for a long time with my singing lessons and...
My favourite moment for singing, I did six concerts with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra for New Year's Eve. And when he asked me to MC, and I said, but could I do a song or something like that? He said, oh, do you want to do a song? And I said, yes. And I said, something like The Impossible Dream. And so he said, yes, we can do something like that. That'd be good. So I go down on the day to rehearse. Well, he's actually got The Impossible Dream out in six keys, all of the music that different people have done it over the years. So I got stuck with Impossible Dream. It's one of the... It's unbelievable to sing, right? And it's six performances. The last performance, I just flew and nailed it. And I felt so good because I just enjoyed it. It was like you were sort of trying to get it right. And everybody in the orchestra had come up and given me a tap on the shoulder and you're doing well, you know. It felt so good. That was my joyful moment in music.
Only that, though.
No. When you've got
listen,
when you've got 30 people in the orchestra and 40 people singing, The Impossible Dream, unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I loved it.
Oh, that's. I wish I could have heard. That sounds so special. I also saw a clip of you. It was on YouTube. I know you don't do YouTube, but where you were performing with a number of fellow female Gold Logie winners.
And
you
were
on stage all together. What was that? That was amazing.
That was 1989 at the Logies, and they had Pat McDonald, Rowena Wallace, Hazel Phillips.
And you were all in sort of sparkly.
All in gold. We all had, all the dresses were made out of the same material, except mine was so short. When we did the rehearsal in the afternoon, they had to go and get more material to make a pair of knickers out of it because it was that short. When I walked, it sort of the little frill on the dress was.
So you had some safety pants.
I had safety pants. Yes.
Were they sparkly?
Yeah, they were made out of the same material as the dress.
So they were a little bit like Kylie Minogue's gold hot pants.
Yes, only they were like. Bloomers, really. Bond's bloomers.
Because when Kylie, I think, auctioned those off and they raised a whole lot of money. Have you got those gold bloomers anywhere, Niecy?
No, they went in the sale.
What, the
sale? The dress and the pants and the shoes.
It all went?
Yeah, I sold it all.
Oh. Have you kept any costumes?
No.
No costumes?
No.
No chook costume?
No.
How can you let go of all of that?
Oh, it was easy.
I wonder where that chook costume is.
Oh, I know that there's a dress that I had in late 60s in London and it had hot pink oval sequins on it and the sequin would cover it was white lace and the hot pink sequin covered a hole.
Oh.
It was covered in it. And it ended up, I don't know how it even ended up there, but one day I looked up and Ozzy Ostrich was dressed in it. I said, where'd you get my dress from? They found it somewhere. I don't know how they'd found it, but it, yeah.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yes.
Now, Ozzy Ostrich, of course, from Hey Hey Saturday.
Yes.
Channel 9.
Channel 9.
We've both had experiences at Channel 9. Yep. You were there a long time, weren't you,
I got
you,
the sack when I was 16.
Was that from the ballet?
From the ballet. I grew breasts.
Oh, but what breasts you grew.
That was accompanied by a look, which was priceless.
I think having boobs like that is worth it. That's worth getting sacked for, Niecy.
If I'd have known you when I had them done, you could have had the bits left over.
I would have loved that. That would have been fantastic, have the extras.
Because I was 38 double D, then I became 38 long. So I had them done.
I thought of you just the other day because I was walking past a lingerie shop. Lingerie. Oh. It's called Storm in a D Cup. It only sells... D cups and beyond. And they were very pretty bras. Where just up in Bondi Junction in Sydney. And I thought, oh, I wonder if I have to take Niecy there.
The trouble is they get, you go in to be fitted and it comes out and you look like you're wearing a singlet. They're
that big. Bras, they were very pretty. There were some beautiful lacy ones.
Yeah, but they've got wires under them.
Oh, dear. We haven't got any wires at the moment.
No, I haven't.
Well, you're not free-ranging. What's another word for braless?
I'm just without bra.
I wanted something more sort of catchy. So you were sacked back to the ballet.
Yep.
Now, was that when you were dancing with Patty Newton?
No, Patty didn't dance.
She danced with you in the ballet?
No. Patty was like a principal, if you know what I mean, like in a pantomime.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was one of the singers and everything. She had still got a good, beautiful voice. No, she was in Swallows Juniors, which is going back even further.
Swallows Juniors?
The flying swallow, your guarantee of quality. There you go. How did I remember that?
Patty sang that and you danced as a swallow
behind her? She was at Channel 7 in... No, she was at Channel 7 with the Swallows Juniors.
Yeah.
I was in the Junior Nines.
And was then, there lots of competition between the Junior Swallows and the Junior Nines?
No, not really.
Like Dance Mums, you know, Dance Mums today.
That's shocking, that show. No, because Patty's mum and my mum were really good friends.
So is that how you two met then? Through your mum?
Through dancing.
Okay.
I was 3 and a half and I think she was about 7 and a half. And so she was in Sound of Music, which I wanted to be in because I wanted to get my hair dyed blonde, but I couldn't sing, so I missed that. Yeah, no, it was good fun. Good fun.
Oh, I remember I was lucky enough to work with Patty when we did Dancing with the Stars together.
Oh.
And I was lucky enough to share a dressing room with her. And that was a thrill in itself. That to me was
You two
was
would
the
get
highlight.
On really well.
We would be in our dressing gowns and sitting on the couch, it was quite a lovely long couch, and she'd be lying down one end, I'd be lying down the other end, and each time I'd be going, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why? I can't remember. I don't know what I'm doing. And she was so beautiful because each time she'd go, just go for it. You've just got to let go. Go for it. And I'd say, but I don't know how to do that because I hadn't come at all from
a background.
That wonderful sort of background that the two of you share. So it was very hard for me to let go when I didn't know how to do the steps.
I think it's one of the hardest shows to do.
You had to learn a new dance every week. And you know how I do nervous poos?
Yes, I do.
Before a show, I'm nervous. And because I only just had met Patty, I was even more nervous. And because we were sharing a dressing room,
that would be even worse.
I'd have to time it when she wasn't there. I'm not sure I had perfume or something to disguise, or a match, you know, to light to disguise the smell. But each week, because we'd film it in Melbourne, I'd have to walk past with my dance partner, Sergey, this big black curtain, and each time I would be thinking, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Please let me remember. And Sergey, who was the dance partner, he was very patient because I worked hard. I was so committed, but I couldn't remember the steps. It was very hard for me to commit the steps to memory.
Yes.
Especially because when we did the rehearsals, it was at a dance studio in Sydney.
And totally different when you get into the studio. Yeah.
With a live band. And I hadn't realised all of the visual cues I was following just to remember the dance. So we'd get to this whole new performing space and I would forget. And he'd be looking at me like, what are you doing? And then because he was like leading me, he'd literally be stopping me because I'd be ready
to do something else.
And he's like looking at me going, what are you doing? Don't do that.
You know how I used to remember I would do the sequence in my head, like right, left turn,
mm.
and I'd do it up here because that's how I learned, and I used to do it at school. I'd be going through the routines that we had that night in my head. I was always getting into trouble at school.
Oh, no,
they didn't like me. Well, the nuns.
Thecla. No wonder then she got cross with you. Sister, was it Sister Thecla?
Yeah, Mother Thecla.
Mother Thecla. Thecla. Because yeah. you were
soft
doing...
Soft name.
Very gentle, it is. Soft, nurturing
yeah.
name.
Yeah. Not you were like doing another those... Mary or another Teresa. Another Thecla.
Because you were doing the steps in your head.
Yeah, so I was probably drifted off. I was good at school until the sixth grade. I got first in the grade in grade six. It was after that when I did Channel 9.
Yeah, and then you...
That,
yes.
Then I was doing everything in my head.
And you'd be either not going to school or remember jumping over the back fence with your friend.
Oh, that's Kay, yeah.
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 But
every now and then.
Do you still have that muscle memory from being a dancer?
I think so. I don't think you learn as long as I did, and for the many things that we learned. We didn't just do tap. We didn't do just ballet or modern. We did the lot.
So
the
it's
absolute
in there.
Lot, yeah.
When we have had to make an entrance for something, which I love an entrance.
Yeah, I know. I can't stand them.
I like to do like freestyle, but you're good at always going, okay, now let's make sure this looks neat, and we'll go one, two with your hand, one, two with your hand. So your choreography is still coming out.
Yeah. Not that good though.
Oh, it's better than me. It's terrific. I don't know how to like to boom.
No, it does. Boom. Honestly, it sticks with you. It's my dance training. You'd never forget.
Mm.
Even sitting down and out in an outfit. I sat yesterday, I think, at work, and I got up and I thought, oh no,
you've creased it. A beautiful friend of mine, Annabelle, who used to do wardrobe for many years, she loved hearing that story about you not wanting to crease anything because she's very much of that school as
yes.
well. That no, you don't sit down, crease your beautiful clothes. You stand and you make sure that
and
it's
see,
all just so.
I find it amazing that some of the girls go and get dressed in their gear and then they go into makeup and have their hair and makeup done in their dresses.
And then it gets all creased.
Yes.
I like to get dressed later, but then that's because it's just sometimes, I don't know, it's just more comfy to be in your more comfy clothes getting your hair and makeup done.
Yeah. We're lucky to get our hair and makeup done. Some people have never had it.
Oh, it's such a treat.
Mm.
I miss, that's probably not, apart from you, Niecy, I miss you and I miss the other wonderful people on Studio 10. I miss the gorgeous makeup girls.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
And the conversations and the laughs that you have in that room.
I know.
It's almost like a cone of silence, isn't it, that room, that the sorts of things you discuss and talk about.
It is a cone of silence now since you've gone.
I don't come in going, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, boom. So my dear daughters just have to put up with that because I was, you know what, I was singing just when I was taking them to school the other day, embarrassing, embarrassing, embarrassing. and Giselle enjoyed that. Allegra, who's a little bit older, is going, Mum, like,
no.
Stop it, like, please don't do that. Once we go around the corner, can you stop doing that?
You Are you still though, banned from sports?
Sport hasn't started yet this term.
But are you banned from
Well,
going?
I have been banned previously because I'm too loud. I'm too enthusiastic and I've been told no loud clapping and no loud cheering.
Okay.
And I was banned and I went to a game and I said to Allegra, please give me a chance, another chance. And I did fairy taps. I did little fairy tap claps.
All right.
And I didn't cross the sideline.
Oh, that's good.
I stayed, you know, my distance and I was kind of getting excited but quietly.
Quietly excited.
More on the inside. And I said, look, Allegra, look, I did it. So I was then invited back.
Okay.
And the other thing that is a real guarantee almost for coming back is I bring snakes. I feed the team with the lolly snakes afterwards. So that's always another guarantee. Good.
Yes.
Of, yes, okay, you can come.
Yeah, your mum needs to come because she brings snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we've got touch footy coming up soon.
Touch footy?
Yeah.
What, do you just touch it?
Well, no, you touch... Well, you touch... Here's me, I really don't know, but, like, you know, they throw the ball and rather than tackling, you touch the person to get the ball.
Okay.
No!
Could I have the ball, please? It seems the most pointless game in the world.
No, it's not because you point. No, it's not. It's better, Niecy. It's far better than tackling. You run. I can't, but look, I'm trying to be convincing here that I can be invited back and I don't even know the rules. You have the ball, you run.
Is there only one ball?
Yeah, only one ball. And then when you're touched, you've got to pass it. That's what it is.
So they run after you and if they touch you, that you've got to give them the ball.
Not to that person, you've got to pass it. So that's an opportunity. Like you, rather than being tackled.
Okay.
And then getting up and then throwing the ball, you're... Like touch, pass.
Do they touch and do really hard touches though? Get into trouble?
Yes, they do. And the umpire or the referee, the ref, has to keep an eye on that because there are some girls
that are a bit rough.
Who, it's not just a touch, it's like a touch. And then other girls who are a bit cheeky who haven't been touched, but then the other...
What happens to the untouched ones?
Oh, Niecy, I don't know. Wouldn't it be fun if we could imagine if we were commentating, like footy commentators or something? Wouldn't that be
just
fantastic?
That girl's just been touched. There's an untouched one over in the corner. She's not running fast enough. She's been untouched.
Oh, she was touched. She didn't pass the ball.
The Untouchables.
That's a great name. That would be a very good name for a winning team.
The Untouchables.
The Untouchables, because you can't touch them because they're so fast. Don't throw the ball.
If I was you, I'd ask for my money back for the sports that you're paying for.
It's safe though. It's far safer.
I do understand that there's no tackling. I don't like that tackling.
Oh, no. And
they're finding out that all these poor boys that have been having concussion and everything are all got something wrong with their heads.
It's horrible.
So, like in America. Did you see that movie?
No, but I remember telling me about the doco where there was terrible injuries.
This doctor and what a lot of these players were getting depressed and suicidal, and he asked for the autopsy and to go to the brain and found out that they had the depression was caused by these hits to the head, getting concussion, and it's still going on now.
Isn't
so it's
that
good.
Appalling.
I like that touch football. I might do a bit of it at home with the cat.
Well, you'd be fast, Niecy, with the cat.
I used to be.
Oh, you are fast. I say this frequently, but you put your head down and off you go.
Oh, yeah, you've got to go quick.
No one get in your way.
No.
Especially if there's bargains to be had or...
Oh, I love a bargain.
Denise Drysdale and Jessica Rowe. One fat lady and one thin lady.